Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to my podcast, CPA Review and More. And today, once again, back by popular demand, is my guest, Tim McNeely. His company is called Lifestone. Is that correct?
That's Tim? Correct.
Tim is a wealth manager. Is that correct?
Yeah, board-certified financial planner, wealth manager.
We went through a complete discussion on basically optimizing your financial world, all right, so that you can focus on your business last time. But today, Tim is going to discuss niche marketing. And he will explain what that is. And in fact, it's a very good idea. If you are a CPA, all right, and you want to create a practice, do you become a generalist? Do you just do tax returns? Do you do bookkeeping work? Or maybe is there a way of making more money by going into a niche market? So therefore, Tim, I'm going to let you talk about what niche marketing is and explain how that could be a big winner for someone who's a CPA as far as increasing their earnings.
Last time, we were talking about some research that I helped underwrite on elite accounting professionals. And we define elite accounting professionals as those who are earning in excess of personal net, not practice revenues, personal net income of $1 million or more, and really looking at those best practices. And I think the best way to understand niche marketing, if you're a CPA, if you're thinking about going into this, is really maybe understanding my personal story a little bit and being able to see the impact that you can have when you specialize. As Phil mentioned, I am married to a dentist. And when I started my life off, I thought my job as a wealth manager was to manage the money, because that's what wealth managers do. And my wife and I were dating, having a good time, and she had another boyfriend. That other boyfriend was called her dental practice. And it was a major, major source of stress in her life. And as an advisor who really just focused on investments, I couldn't help her with any of the issues she was facing. And that put me in a career I absolutely hated, and I couldn't take care of the person I loved the most. And something needed to change. And so I really started to dive deep on what do the super rich do? What do the best of the best do? How do they move the needle and make progress on their most important goals? And I started implementing some of those lessons for my wife, and we got back to being on top of the world and really was able to improve her practice. And through that process, one of her consultants that she was working with said, "Tim, you're kind of good at this. Why don't you specialize in dentistry?" And all of a sudden, the light bulb kind of went off, because I realized all that work I had done for one person who I really cared about, my wife, I was able to then take that and multiply it out. And that helps with efficiencies. It helps with specialized knowledge, because every industry has little tiny things that are very different than some other industry. And the more you can specialize and really dive deep, that's going to enable you to serve your clients even better, because you're going to know them better than anyone else.
Now, Tim, you're doing the niche marketing as far as financial planning. Is that correct for dentists?
Yeah, correct. Right? It's helping dentalpreneurs, right? So you want to talk about specific. Let's actually break down my statement. And I'll break it down because I think it'll really serve everyone listening. So I help dentalpreneurs, and dentalpreneurs are driven dentists. They're business owners, first and foremost, who just happen to practice dentistry. So, right, very specific language. I help dentalpreneurs build an amazing life of significance through lessons from the super rich. And so that very statement, right, it positions me as a teacher, as an educator, because that's what I want to do. I want to educate them on how to build that life of significance, because that's what they're trying to do. And so, right, within that niche, I've been able to drill that down and clarify a value statement. And that's something that I would encourage everyone listening to this to do. I've absolutely spoken to CPAs, help them define their niche, and this is exactly what we're doing today. So now I'm a big, big fan of education.
So when you go into a group of CPAs and you talk about niche marketing, All right. What do you tell them?
Well, you want your niche to be something you're genuinely interested in. You've got some kind of affinity for. And the first thing I encourage CPAs to do, and I would encourage everyone listening, this is something you can do, is just do a brief little exercise. Write down, what do you find yourself enjoying? What are the things you like to do? Then, right, if you're brand new, you're not going to have any clients, so you can't do this part, but you can certainly think about those activities, sports, hobbies, industries, right? Do you like movies? Do you like the spirits industry? Do you like, you know, clothing? Maybe you're really fascinated by everyone on Instagram who's building these influencer businesses, right? Just what do you enjoy? Second, write down, what do you like to do? And then if you do have some existing clients, take a look at your book of business. Write down your top three clients. What industry are they in? Do you see any similarities among them? And really start diving deep and start with yourself first. Because if you go, oh man, you know, I am going to go target, you know, business executives and people in the corner offices, they got a lot of money, but you absolutely don't enjoy those people, your niche is going to be miserable for you. And it's not going to work. So you want some kind of personal involvement and some kind of personal affinity for the niche. And that's really the starting point, is figuring out some of what you enjoy.
All right. Well, let's take your situation. Your niche is in dentistry. Is it just different dentists and different specializations?
So it's actually gone deeper as we go into it. And this is another lesson that people listening to this can pull back and start on is, right, when you're first picking a niche, right, there's a lot of fear that you're going to exclude everyone else, right? You're going to say, oh, I work with chiropractors, and therefore you're not ever going to get any other kind of business. Well, people want to work with a specialist. And sometimes you can start your niche off really broad. You know, you may be based in Indiana, and you say, I work with business owners in Indiana. Right, you may start off broad because you're not quite sure what kinds of businesses you enjoy or what kind of industry. So you can start off broad, and that's what happened to me too. I started off broad. I said, I work with dentists. And over time, I realized, well, I don't work with people who are associates and working in a practice. No, I work with the dental owner. I work with the business owner. Then it started to go even deeper, and I realized, well, I like working with the specialist a lot. Then it actually even went further, and now my specialty is that dentalpreneur who is a dentist who is driven, who's trying to create and grow, and usually involved in 3, 4, 5, 6 dental practices. So, right, so that niche of dentistry, I've actually kept narrowing down and down and down, but I had to start broad to get there. And that's something you can do too, is you can start broad if you don't want to put your flag right in the ground and say, you know, I work with circus performers in North Carolina, right? That may be a little too specific. So you can start off broad to get a sense of what you enjoy, what you like, because as a new CPA, you're going to have to figure some of those things out.
Well, let's go back to your situation. You were doing financial planning before you were CFP, or you got your CFP and then started the financial planning. How did you do that?
Yeah, no, I've been a financial planner my entire life. I've had two jobs, delivering pizza and being an investment advisor. And when I started off, I would work with anyone, right? I didn't care if you were a school teacher, a business owner, high net worth individual, right? Didn't matter. I'd work with everyone. And Phil, that is a nightmare of a way to run a business. Absolute nightmare. Because every time you got a new client, you had to learn a new set of facts. You had to learn a new set of circumstances. And it's like, okay, well, how does their business operate? Right? What are the issues they face? And all of a sudden, your time, you are a generalist. And it's really hard to bring a lot of value to a specific person above, you know, beyond just some very basic concepts.
To get the niche of having dentists and clients, you obviously had to come up with something which made you stand out over other financial planners. There are plenty of financial planners. Do you agree?
Absolutely.
So what did you do to make yourself stand out so that, hey, you could say, by the way, I'm Tim McNeely, all right, and I'm a financial planner, and I specialize in dentists. That's my market, all right? The dentist is going to say, well, what makes you different from other financial planners? What would your response be?
Well, I started with something that I would encourage everyone listening. If you were listening to this, the best way to get started in a niche and establish yourself as the leader in that niche is to get curious. Get really, really curious and start asking questions. And this is how I did it. I said, I want to target this niche. I want to go after this specific bit of the market, but I don't know a whole lot about it. So you know what I started doing? I started calling up influencers in the industry. And an influencer is someone who speaks at a conference. They write in the trade publications. They are, you know, a professional that serves that industry. And I started calling these people up and asking them, I said, can I ask you some questions? Because I'm writing a paper because I really want to learn how to serve the dental industry really, really well. And you know what people said? They said, yes. People are surprisingly helpful. When you show up curious, when you show up wanting to learn, when you show up in that position of humility saying, I don't know it all, but I really want to figure this out, people will respond overwhelmingly with, yes, how can I help you? And that's what I did. I got a little tape recorder and I sat down and I did interview after interview after interview where I started asking questions. What are the challenges that dentists face? Are they meeting those challenges? What keeps them up at night, right? I just got really, really curious in asking questions. And by doing that, all of a sudden you start realizing, oh, here's a challenge my industry has. Ah, I know how I can solve that. And oh, here's a challenge. Oh, and I can see the people that I need to help them solve that. But that's going to come through that research that you do on your own. And it's a great way to build connections with other people in that niche who are going to be able to help you grow your business.
How'd you find your influencers, like LinkedIn? What did you do? And then the next question is it so easy to get these people to sit down and speak with you on a niche?
Yeah, great question, Phil. So the process is pretty simple. Whatever industry, right, whatever niche you're thinking about going after, I can almost guarantee, and I don't use that word too often, but I can guarantee you there's some kind of trade group, there's some kind of organization, there's some kind of publication that this niche has. And that's where you start. If you say, I want to work with chiropractors, type in chiropractor association. You're going to find it. You're going to find that conference. And then that conference page is going to have the people that are there speaking at the conference. And the beauty of the internet today is you can take that name of whoever the speaker is, you can go get on LinkedIn, you can send them a connection request, and you can say, hey, you know what? I'm working on specializing in chiropractors, and I'd really love to ask you a couple questions. I see you're speaking at this conference, and I know you're an expert in this. Overwhelming majority of people will say yes still. Now, I've certainly had a number of people who ignore me, who don't call me back, right? And I call them, nothing. And that's fine. We don't want to work with those kinds of people. But overwhelming majority of people will say, yes, I'd love to help you do this.
How do you know who influencers are besides people speaking at conferences? If you go to LinkedIn, mm-hmm. right, does it say the person's an influencer?
No, it absolutely won't. And the way I define influencer, and we'll pull back to that definition, is they speak at conferences in that industry, they write for those trade publications, or they're some kind of a thought leader. So how do you check those things out, right? You go to the conference websites, see who's speaking. Pull up their trade journal, right? There's a ton of dental trade journals. Open those up, you can see who are writing the articles. You can reach out to them. You know, it's not necessarily going to, right, unless you're in the business of being an influencer, you typically don't have that title on your LinkedIn profile. But it's going to be someone who's running the conferences or someone who's writing the articles, you know, writing the blogs. It's going to, you know, maybe be the business consultant for chiropractors, right? There's other professionals that serve that industry. And that's why you're doing these interviews, is you want to discover who out there also, right? What are the other professionals that this niche engages? In my case, I found out dentists, they use a lot of attorneys all the time, not for litigation matters, but for matters of lease negotiation and buying and selling practices. And there are attorneys that just do that kind of work for dentists. I would have never known that had I not really dove into the industry and did those influencer interviews.
How did you get the appointment with the dentist? Did you use your wife as a stepping stone or?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I play off that as much as I can because it's part of my story and it's who I am and it's where part of my passion comes from. And so that's why the first thing I said is figure out what you're passionate about. And, you know, maybe you worked, right? Let's use chiropractors for an example, right? I think that that's a great one to run with. And, you know, you may say, you know what, I was having some back problems and that chiropractor really helped me out and made me feel better and started approaching, you know, my health holistically. And I saw the big difference they could have for me. And I really want to help them. So that can be what you reach out to people as you're reaching out to them on LinkedIn or finding their website and calling them up. So it's really a combination. LinkedIn is a great way to reach out to these people. And like I said, the majority of people are willing to pick up the phone and talk with you.
Well, how would you get through to the doctor? What technique might you use?
Yep. So once I've got that research, right, once I've got that white paper that I've done, then it becomes much easier to contact them. And I would encourage LinkedIn. It's a great way to reach out to people. And one of the things I do is I maintain what I call a list of 20, where I've got 20 of my top potential clients on LinkedIn, and I'm messaging them, right? Real humble messaging. I'm not pitching them anything. I'm trying to get to know them. I'm trying to ask questions. And it's, you know, hey, I'm Tim McNeely. I work with chiropractors. I just interviewed 20 leading thought leaders in chiropractic care. And we really looked at the issues and challenges and how to overcome them. Would you be interested in me sending that to you? Right, real humble messaging, real humble.
You're assuming that you can get past the person who answers the phone, correct?
Correct.
How do you get past that person? I mean, you have these people answer the phones. That's all they do.
Yep.
And their job is to protect the chiropractor from sort of people like you who want to call and talk directly to them. How do you get past that person who answers the phone? Do you have any techniques you use?
Yep. So the way you get past is you get introduced. And when we go back to the research and we find out where growth comes from, right? Where do you get your best clients from? It's not the marketing. It's actually referrals from non-competing professionals. It's okay. Other professionals who already have that relationship. So, for example, you've done your influencer interviews, and maybe you've come across a consultant, right? A business consultant who works with chiropractors, right? That is so powerful because now you're able to align yourself with that person because they're a non-competing professional. They're doing the coaching. They're doing the growth strategies. But you know what? Maybe they don't have a CPA who really specializes in chiropractors and is in putting the profit loss together in a way that that consultant wants to see. Now you're getting past the gatekeeper because you're getting introduced by someone who already has that relationship.
Let's just go back to a CPA, all right? New CPA wants to say, you know, I just don't want to be a generalist. You know, I've heard that having a specialization, I can make more money. So I decide, once again, the CPA, the chiropractor, all right? I get to know people. You know, I actually network probably when I'm going to a meeting. And should you not ask the people you're networking with for names of people who might need your services? Is that a good approach?
I would tell you, as you're out there networking, it is a great, and there's a book that one of my friends just wrote called Everyone Wins. And this is the best process ever. Because, right, as you're out there networking, I would encourage you, as you're talking to people, don't spend time looking for people for your services. Figure out what the other person wants, right? What is that other person across the side of, what is important to them? And then how can you help them get it? And if you do that, you're going to win bigger than you've ever imagined. Now, you want some alignment, right? You just don't want to help everyone out. You want to help people who have particular clients in your niche who can help you achieve your goals, right? So, you know, like we're not just helping for the sake of helping, but when you find those other professionals who have the kinds of clients you want, figure out what they want and then help them get it. And if you do that, you're going to have more business than what you know what to do with.
I've always been told you make as much money as your clients make. Do you want to just say you want to pick a niche that you feel comfortable with, but also you want these people making a lot of money so they won't argue about paying your fees? Is that correct?
I'm going to tell you it's going to come back to the CPA's goals, right? Some CPAs, they want to, you know, pick up a handful of clients that they like and they want to make an okay income and that's it. Others say, you know what? I really want to make a lot of money. And that's okay, right? If that's your goal, then you can't do it with tons and tons of clients. You've got to do it by serving fewer and wealthier clients who have complex issues where you can really move the needle and deliver a lot of value. You're not going to get it by just filing a whole bunch of tax returns. You've got to go into advisory services, and you really have to transition from just doing taxes to true planning and holistic advice.
Are you really more into advisory services than financial planning, or is it that same thing?
I would argue they're very, very similar. So I run an advisory team. I've got 47 vetted professionals, right? All non-competing professionals, so that whatever issue my clients have, we can bring in the right team members. I'm not an expert in everything, and I don't want to be an expert in everything, but I am an expert in discovery, in really getting to know my clients well, and then being that resource to solve the problems they have.
Well, dentists make very good income, all right? So I would think, I don't know how they are, all right? Do they complain, well, I don't want to pay for this, it's too much money? Do you find that? Or are they the type of profession that will pay what they have to get good advice? How do you find dentists?
So the overwhelming number of dentists really value advice, and they want to pay for it. And I would argue most professionals, right? Doctors, attorneys, right? Chiropractors, business owners, right? They value advice, and they want good team members that they can delegate things to, because they realize they are not an expert in everything, and they want to focus on making money. And the way they make money is by being in their business. And as a CPA, right, when you make that transition to advisory services, and you're able to help them offload that bookkeeping, you're able to bring them financial reports and guide them and shepherd them through them and understanding it so they can make better business decisions, they will pay for that all day long, because you're going to help guide and direct them so that they're spending time making money in their most profitable profession, which is their business.
So you're saying, if you're going to get a niche, try to pick a niche of people who can afford your services. We're not going to sit there and start crying when you charge them for this, charge them for that. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. You want people who are going to value your services and pay you for it.
All right. But I don't even know where to start with this. I mean, you're saying sit down and figure out what you enjoy doing. All right. What happens if I enjoy skiing? All right. What would my niche be? Skiers? Well,
So Phil, if you enjoy skiing, let me ask you this. Are there people who supply, I don't know, skis to the skiing industry? Are there resorts that happen to serve skiers? Are there food and beverage companies that happen to serve those mountain resorts? Are there people who happen to show up? Are there ski instructors? There is, right? If you say, I enjoy skiing and I really like it, then maybe that's what you start exploring. Or who are the suppliers to the industry? What are the resorts in the area, right? Who's making the boots? Who's making the skis? Who's making the poles? Who's making the clothing? Those are all people that you could potentially go after in the niche of skiing.
And once again, same approach. You look for influencers, right?
Yep.
And you go to maybe conferences on, where they actually have people who sell the skis, and let them talk about what's involved with skis and all that, all right? And actually, you know what you just did, which impressed me, all right? When I asked that question to you, I thought to myself, well, I don't like skiing, by the way, but I just thought of that because I lived in Denver. But, I couldn't think of as many things. How did you do that? I mean, is that just something you have a knack to do? And you said, skis, well, the people with the food and beverage. How did you come up with that on the spot? Is that just experience?
That is experience. And that's one of the first things I mentioned on here is when you want to get into your niche, you've got to get genuinely curious about it, right? Genuine curiosity. And you really want to understand it. And that question asking, it's been a lifelong process to get there. And I still feel like I've got a long way to go in asking really good questions. But that's just what you start doing, is getting curious, right? Well, okay, I see a ski resort, and right, who's doing this and who's doing that? What's the business behind there? and you just start kind of tracing these things out. And this is a process that literally can work whether you've got a niche, whether you don't have a niche, whether you want to refine your niche. It doesn't matter what industry it is. This is a process that can help you define and clarify who you want to serve. And that's so important because the deeper you go, the better you're going to be able to serve your clients because you're going to know them better than anyone else. And that's going to make you the true expert. That's going to enable you to command higher prices because you understand the industry. It's going to protect from the commoditization of your services. Because let's face it, in financial planning and tax planning, a lot of that is commoditized, right? Filing a tax return, that's kind of a commodity. Now, some people do it better than others, but for the most part, everyone does about the same job there. Financial planning.
Is that a niche, tax preparation?
I would tell
you. Generalist, too much of a generalist.
Yeah, I would tell you that's a specific service that people provide, but it's not necessarily serving a niche.
Okay, because people can go to, you have so many different tax preparers.
Yep.
You know, the H&R Blocks and that type of thing. So I can understand that's not a niche. There's so many people doing that, and you can find people that charge absolutely nothing. And mm-hmm. meanwhile, you say to yourself, I can't charge what I really feel I'm worth.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So that's it. So you learned, tell me what you did. Did you learn the needs of a dentist from your wife? Is that the first person you spoke to?
Yeah, that's where I really saw how ill-equipped I was to help someone, right? Because like I said, I was, right, if I was a CPA, I was so focused on the tax return that I actually couldn't help her with the real issues she was having in her business. I didn't know anything about managing cash flow of a business. I didn't know anything about employees and hiring and firing and retention. I didn't know anything about marketing and practice growth. I didn't know any of that, Phil. I was lost, and I couldn't help actually move the needle in my wife's business. And the same is going to be true for a lot of the CPAs, right? You go through your exam, you've passed it, you're ready to start filing some tax returns. You've got clients all over the place. You're not really going to understand what are the issues that they're facing? What's keeping them up at night? How can I help them? And right, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're driven, the way you build good businesses is by solving problems. But you got to figure out what those problems are first. And that's why that genuine curiosity, doing those influencer interviews, right, talking with people in the industry who are serving that niche was so valuable. The things I uncovered, Phil, was just absolute gold. And this is so important to my practice that even today I continue to do these interviews with people.
If I want to get into a niche, it's going to take me a while to become very knowledgeable in that area. Correct?
Absolutely. Yep.
Right. So what do I do between now and the time I become knowledgeable? I got to earn money. What would you tell me to do?
Well, you still bring on the clients, you still provide those core services, but right, you start saying this is what I specialize in. And you know what? It's okay to not have answers. And that's the other thing that I would encourage everyone listening to this is, right, you pick up a new client and all of a sudden they start asking you questions that you don't know anything about. It's all right for you to say, you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to get you an answer. People respect that, right? Instead of you trying to make something up, just say, you know what? That's a great question. I'm going to find the right resource and I'm going to find the right expert for that.
I guess what I'm saying is if you want to specialize in getting dentists, you have to become known in some way that you have knowledge that you want to share with these people. Now, that may take 6 months to a year, all right? For the first year, would you say to a CPA, take any business you can get just to survive until you get into that specialization?
Yeah.
What would you tell them?
No, if you're in survival mode and you're just trying to pick up anyone you can pick up, it's going to take just as much effort to pick up 50 random people as it is going to take to pick up 50 people in your niche. It's going to take the same amount of effort.
What do you enjoy? You said you like dentists, right?
Absolutely.
Obviously, you love your wife, but, you know, what did you love about having dentists and clients? I mean, what was the interest? Most people say, you know, I really don't like dentists, okay? I don't know if I want to become. What made you like dentists? I understand. What is it that's so appealing about a dentist as a client?
So for me, it was really the factor that the dentists are really good with numbers. Now, you're going to have to be a dentist to get this joke, because there's 32 teeth in the human mouth, and they count them 1, 2, 3, up to 32. So dentists are really good with numbers, as long as you don't go past the number 32. They understand numbers perfectly. Once you get to number 33, they're lost. So that's what I really enjoyed about it, is they're not educated on the things that are required to run a business. So I saw a huge need in the marketplace to come in there and help them with everything outside of the dentistry, right? They come out of dental school knowing how to do dentistry. They don't know anything about running a business, nothing.
Now, CPAs, do you know anything about, I'm not sure, I haven't checked this recently, but CPAs, the client says, well, I need to set up a pension plan, all right? Obviously, there's insurance involved there in some respects, but the CPA, how does it sound if they say, well, I will get you the right products in here because I do have a license for that, all right? And I'll take a percentage of the commission, all right? What do you think the dentist will say? Will he say, wait a minute, you came in here, you're a CPA, all right? Financial consulting. You also get commissions from products? Does that make you look bad as a CPA?
So I'm going to answer this in a very interesting way. So I have these same discussions, right? We're all worried about conflicts of interest. We're worried right. about how things look. And when I talk to CPAs, the number one concern I hear all the time is, I don't want to look bad. I don't want potential conflicts of interest. I don't want to get paid on that business. When I have those same conversations with attorneys, I have never met an attorney who cannot defend why you pay them so much darn money. They're very, very good at it. Same conversation, same ideas, same strategies. The attorney will take the money all day long and defend it. And the CPA sits back and says, I'm just worried about conflicts of interest. I get that, right? So different mentalities, right? Different kinds of people. And there's different ways to approach that. The way I do this, and I have partnerships with CPAs that I've put in place, and the way we do this is anytime a client is referred to me, I'm going to be able to offload some of the work that CPA has to do in terms of discovery, or maybe it's running the census and doing all that retirement plan design. But that CPA is still going to have to provide information to me to be able to get that work done. So through that revenue sharing agreement, that helps offset the fees that the CPA would have to charge. So the CPA can say, hey, Mr. Client, you know what? For me to coordinate this and help put that pension plan in place and save you $50,000 a year in taxes, I usually charge $5,000 to do that. However, I've got a vetted team. I work with these financial professionals. We do share revenue, and I do that to help offset the cost for you. So I don't have to charge you for doing that. Plus, there's going to be ongoing collaboration that we have to do. That's why that fee is there. I think it's very easy to explain. Yeah, so I would tell you three things. Number one, figure out what you like, right? You got to have some kind of natural affinity for your niche. Number two, go start doing those influencer interviews, right? Seek out other people in the industry and get genuinely curious about that niche. And number three, start putting that research, put all those findings into words, create a document, create some research so that you actually really understand your niche. It really is that simple. Figure out what you like, get genuinely curious, talk to a whole bunch of people, and then start implementing it, start sharing that research with your niche. And you do that, and that will put you up on the stage the next time there is a conference for whatever your chosen niche is, because you're going to be able to say, I've done all this original research. I'd love to share it with you. You become the thought leader.
And I bet you can talk to anybody. Is that correct? You can,
absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of people don't feel comfortable doing that. All right. CPAs don't feel comfortable. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a stereotype, but what do you say to someone? Well, I don't feel comfortable going into a group and start talking to them. What are you going to say to the CPA? You better do it or not? What are you going to tell the CPA?
I'm going to tell you, get over it, right? If you can't talk to, I'm serious.
You're right.
If you can't talk to people, if you can't build connection, then you probably, then being an entrepreneurial CPA is not for you. You need to go find a spot at a firm where you've got someone else being the rainmaker for the firm. If that's not your forte, if you want to file returns, if you want to interact with clients once they're already there, then that's fine, right? It's going to go back to get clear on what's important to you. If you want to be the rainmaker for the firm, if you want to be the one bringing in the clients, you got to get over it. You got to get out there and talk to people.
And you have CPAs who come to you to discuss niche marketing, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
All right. Do you ever ask them one of the first questions? Do you mind speaking with people? Or do you have trouble talking to people?
No, it actually, that's very, very interesting insight. And I think that's part of what I'm going to start asking now is, right, talk to me about how you feel about speaking to others.
Yeah, because I like to just speak with people, but I couldn't sell insurance because the fear of rejection. No one likes rejection. Mm-hmm. But if I went into a group of people to talk about something where I'm not asking them to buy something, all right, that's no problem. I can talk to anybody.
Yeah.
All right. But how do you get over that fear of rejection?
So with those influencer interviews, though, you're not asking anyone to buy anything. You're not trying to sell anything. You are being genuinely curious, and you're asking people to help. And that's the amazing thing, right? If you say, hey, Phil, can you help me out? People usually say yes. Now, if you say, hey, can you help me out? And I want to give you a sales pitch, they're going to run the other way as fast as possible. But if I say, hey, Phil, I really like your help. I know you're an expert on CPAs and helping them get through the exam. Would you be willing to share your knowledge with me? What are you going to say?
Of course.
Yeah. And the same is true for all the other influencers out there, right? You may have 5% that are so busy, that are so in demand, right? I probably couldn't call up Michael Hyatt or Tony Robbins or some of those people and do that. They're going to say, no way, I ain't got time for you. But you know what? A lot of the other industry conferences, a lot of the speakers, they are willing to get on the phone with you just to have that conversation because they want to share what they know. And if you ask good questions, they'll share it with you.
But at some point, you're going to have to ask that person or say to that person, you know, I appreciate you giving me these points, but I have this specialization. I do this. All right. Do you have anybody you know where you wouldn't mind if I spoke to them and mentioned your name? Do you do that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's kind of phase two of the influencer interviews is now you can go out and actually interview people who are in your niche, who are your clients. This is another thing I do is I will go back with my existing clients, right? Once again, I think if anything, I want everyone to take away from this today. Get genuinely curious. Ask questions. I do this with my clients. I do it with potential clients in my niche where I'm saying, hey, I want to learn about the challenges you face as a dentist running multiple practices. Would you be willing to share with me? They say yes. And I'm not trying to sell that potential client.
But at some point, you're ultimately asking for the sale. Are you not?
I would argue that when you are asking good questions, right, and this comes through the skill, when you're asking good questions of potential clients, those questions are actually uncovering the opportunities. And that potential client is selling themselves. Because when you know your industry well enough and you can say, hey, Mr. Chiropractor, what are you doing about your transition strategy? And how do you see healthcare impacting the valuation of your practice? They're going to go, oh my gosh, I've never thought about that. And boom, you've got them just by the very fact that you ask a good question. They're going to sell themselves. And they're going to say, and eventually, right? And so you bring that point. When do you sell yourself? You wait until you hear, hey, Phil, how are people in my situation dealing with this? And they will eventually ask that. And when you hear that, that's your turn to say, let me share how I help.
And the more you do that, the better you get at it, right?
Exactly. I mean, yeah. This is a process you learn over time.
Tell the people who are out there listening to this or watching this what they need to do if they want to learn more about niche marketing and they want to get into a certain niche and talk to you about it.
Email me. I'll send you a digital copy of this book, right? This is some of the best research out there on how to build an exceptional practice, how to build a great CPA firm. And if you email me at tim@lifestoneco.com, I'll send you a digital copy. Start here, right? We've got the research. This is the playbook. This is the best practices of your peers who are building incredible practices. And that's step one. Step two, if you want to do an exploratory call, I'll jump on the phone for 15, 20 minutes with you and see if there's some kind of alignment, right? What's in it for me? I'm looking to build relationships with other CPAs who I can help grow their niche so that when appropriate, they become that non-competing professional and refer business back to me. That's what I'm looking for, right? And that's why I do this, is to help, right, the right people so that they can help me, right? It's that rule of reciprocity, right? Let's help everyone win.
Let's go over what you just gave. What is your email address?
It's Tim, T-I-M, at Lifestone, LifeStoneCo.com.
So, Tim, take care, stay well. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you once again for listening. Every Tuesday, we have a different guest. Tim, thanks again, and stay well, and I will talk to you again soon. Bye now.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.